Good morning, brothers and sisters around the world. I'd like to welcome you to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday Sunday School. I will be your teacher. My name is Jonathan Tate. I'm one of the associate pastors at Running for Christ Ministries. And we can get started with word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this awesome day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your direction through your word. Help us to draw closer to you as we walk through this lesson. And help us to retain it so that we can share with others and change the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're picking back up at the end of Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 29. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." Let me read that again. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, I know that probably each and every one of us have had moments when we had to tell somebody how we felt so that we could get it off of our chest. And usually that involves foul or abusive language. Well, I'm here to tell you that even though we used to do that or used to be like that, we should be like that no more. And I say we because that's me included. There have been times when people have gotten on my last nerve or, you know, made me angry. And, you know, instead of putting my hands on them, I let them have it with my tongue. And it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Excuse me, that's the first command in this verse. Don't use it. You know, it has no room in expanding the kingdom of the Lord. It has no purpose. It serves no purpose. More than anything, we should be quick to pray for people who get on our nerves or irritate us or use us or whatever the case may be. But it's not our job. You know, the Lord says vengeance is mine, period. So it's not our job to get people told or to go off on folks, even our children, you know, even our spouses, even our family members, because some of us, we do that too. And we think we're right when we do it, but we're dead wrong. And then it says, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Words are extremely powerful. One thing about words is once you let them out there, you can't take them back, good or bad. Do you realize that the Bible describes the tongue as a two-edged sword? So it can be dangerous, but it can also be encouraging. It could also be something that saves someone from taking their own life. Could be, you know, something that gives someone encouragement so that they can live to fight another day, or they can help, you know, they can solve a problem or help someone else. You know, you just never know how words affect people. You know, but words do affect people. They do throughout history, you know. And I think about how people have encouraged me simply by, you know, just a statement or word. And that's something that we need to get off into. Like I'm thinking about a guy named James Rucker. The Ruckers from River Rouge lived on Superior. And we met when I worked at Ballinger Park at River Rouge. And, you know, he would come to the park every day, and we would talk, and he would always greet me with a smile. And he would say, as he got to know me, he would say, "Baby, I don't want you to do good. I want you to do your best. And I still, to this day, keep that with me. And we met back in the summer of 1996, so well over 25 years ago. But I still keep that with me. And I tell my kids that. You know, I tell other folks that, you know, you're good. And it took me some time to figure out what he was saying. But, you know, what he was saying is, I don't want you to just settle for doing good. I want you to do your best. I want you to give it your all. Your best typically is better than good if you put your all into it. That's giving your best. So words of encouragement, again, they stuck with me 25 years later. But, you know, there are people who right now heard a discouraging word as a child. They may be in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, and they still remember that too. So we're God's children. Remember, Ephesians is about encouragement. It's about motivation, us doing what we're called to do for the Lord. Then we need to really take heed to verse 29 and be an encouragement to those who hear our words. Verse 30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing you that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So how do we bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way we live? Well, when we sin, when we go totally against what God said. See, one thing that we have to understand is that sin grieves God. It doesn't just get on his nerves. It grieves him. It saddens him. And especially coming from, you know, us, because think about this. The world was set up for you in this day and this time right now. The world was set up to be God's masterpiece, to show off our being, that we could love the Lord by our own free will. So when he set all this up for us, and he continues to sustain our lives, he continues to instruct us and love on us unconditionally, he wants us to sin less and love more. See, those who love the Lord do what he says, do what he commands in his word. And you display that in how you live. But to bring sorrow to how you live to God's Holy Spirit, because remember, God's very presence inside of you. Your body is a temple of the one living true God. And that's in the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Then we need to understand that he hates sin. He despises it. It really, really grieves him. So we have to move in the opposite direction. Like I was sharing with one of my sisters on the phone, you know, we have to put good things into practice, you know. And we had an awesome conversation, but it boiled down to putting good things into practice and putting certain things down. So we have to work at it. We have the ability to conquer all of the sin that is in our lives because of God's presence in us. And don't ever forget that. And then it says, remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. We belong to the Lord, period. Once we got saved, we were saved, period. There have been some of us who have gone on to say, you know what, even though they're saved, hey, you know, I'm going to follow Islam. Hey, I'm going to follow Buddhism. Hey, I'm going to be an atheist. I don't believe. You could say all that, and, you know, all of that can come out of your mouth. But God knows who he's chosen and who's already redeemed. I know that I'm redeemed, and I'm thankful for that. So I'm guaranteed then with him, he's in me and I in him. Remember in the beginning of Ephesians, he chose us before the foundation of the world. Period. God is not constrained by time like we are. He's not limited in any fashion. So we're guaranteed to be saved. Once the Holy Spirit moves in, once we accepted the Lord as our, you know, Savior and King and Redeemer, we got saved, and that's just that. And that's for eternity. God doesn't change his mind like we do, like Michigan weather. He's confident that this is exactly what's going on. This is what I'm going to do, period. God's plans will always be carried out to the fullest. Amen? Amen. Verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You know, all of those things, bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, and evil behavior, they're meant to destroy you. Those are things that the devil engages in and wants you to engage in so that you can join his hellacious party. But remember who you belong to. You know, that's one thing that was super important to my mother when she would send us out in public. Say, hey, remember to act like you got some sense. Remember what I taught you. Remember what you learned in this house. And you carry that out in the street and in public and in school and in church. You know, I took I had to take my son to the orthodontist yesterday. And the orthodontist just pulled me to the side and said, he's so mannerable. He seems like a very good kid and this and this and this. And I said, this is who we raised him to be. You know, and I'm thankful to the Lord for his instruction, you know, and his guidance, parenthood. But, you know, he's just doing what he's been taught to do. And so many times people blame kids for their behavior and their actions. And it's what they're taught or not. It's our job as adults to teach children. If they're in your area of control or influence, you have a job to do, whether you gave birth to them or not. So the Lord wants us to get rid of all of that foolishness that is meant to drag us down. Harsh words and evil behavior, bitterness and all of that unforgiveness, all of that stuff needs to be cast before the Lord on the altar. Take it out and you leave it in the receptacle. Let the garbage man come get it and you move forward. Amen. Amen. And verse 32 says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When you make it, again, putting some of these things into practice, when you make it a habit of forgiving people, then you make it a habit of being forgiven. So one hand washes the other. You know, the Lord forgives us all day, every day of things that we do. So if you are forgiven, it should be easy for you to practice or start forgiving folk. 30 years ago, let it go. The Lord forgives you constantly. I know he does me. I always tell people, because, you know, when people complain or fuss to me about other folks, always bring up one example. I say, listen, if I could forgive someone who shot at me twice over some glasses and we had an actual face-to-face conversation after the whole ordeal, surely you could forgive such and such for not washing the dishes. Surely you could forgive such and such for hurting your feelings. Surely you could forgive someone for being disrespectful to you. Because in my mind, if it didn't rise to the level of someone trying to take your life, was it really that serious? Just something to consider. because the Lord has forgiven me time and time and time again. I'm a wretch that's saved by grace for to be saved. I'm thankful that my elder brother went to the cross in my place, because he didn't deserve that. I did. So let's keep that in mind when we locking people up in their prisons of unforgiveness. Chapter 5 says, verse 1, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. If you have a relationship with someone, especially if someone is influential in your life, naturally you're going to imitate them. Naturally you're going to catch yourself dressing like them, talking like them, doing some of the things that they did. I know that is true for me in my life. And imitation, they say, is one of the best forms of flattery. So if we want to flatter our Father in heaven, we should read his word. We should spend time walking and talking with him and listening to him. And then submitting to him so that we can show people that we are God's children. We can reflect that in the world. So that's why it says, imitate God in everything you do. But we have to learn who he is, and that's through his word. That's the relationship. It's been times the Lord has even instructed me on what to order off a menu. He cares about that. We can say, oh, God's too busy for that. No, he's not. He's inside of me. God can be everywhere at one time. So he can tell me, hey, son, you need to drink some water today. I know that apple juice is real good to you, but you need some water. You know, so he will instruct you. He will guide you if you get to know him and draw closer to him. And then you will start to imitate God in everything that you do. You won't even sound like yourself. Amen. Amen. Verse 2 says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, pleasing aroma to God. I'll be the first to tell you, going back and forth with Pastor O, he's always told me over the years that it seems like the theme of all of the messages the Lord gives you for others is love. And I've learned to embrace that as the truth, because if I put that into practice, reading the Lord's word and loving on folks and forgiving folks and, you know, not being bitter or, you know, being totally selfish, if I put those things into practice, I'm going to display love consciously and unconsciously. And what greater love than laying down your life for someone, which is what Christ did for us. We need to really, really think about what he did at that cross for us so that we can love on others, because that was awesome. Everything Christ did for us on earth, even before he got to earth, while he was here and when he left, and even to this day at the right hand of the Father, is based upon his love for you. So why not show others? If you're loved, show love. He died for you at the cross, and he rose from the grave, and he's still interceding at the right hand of the Father on your behalf. I mean, that's awesome love, in my opinion. And that's history. That's word. Christ actually lived, and the things he did were recorded. And he's still going to bat for you and showing love for you. So it should be easy to love on others. Amen. And it said, he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. We couldn't go to the cross. We wouldn't be a pleasing aroma. We would have been a stench. before God, because we couldn't take on what Christ took on because he was without sin. We're born into sin, so that pretty much, you know, kills our opportunity to go to the cross. But I'll be the first to tell you, and you can call it selfish if you like, I wouldn't have wanted to take that whooping that Christ took, because not only was he punished physically, but mentally and spiritually, socially, he had to take all of that on, pay for all of our sins, past, present, and future. So just consider that as you show love and follow the example of Christ. Verse 3 says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. That's pretty direct. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. So again, those are things, in addition to harsh words and bitterness and unforgiveness, that we need to cast aside. And again, it's about putting it into practice. You know, there are things in my life that I've had to put down, you know, and it took practice. It took me making the conscious effort to say, hey, you don't need to watch that movie. You don't need to make that phone call. You don't need to go to that place. And over time, it got easier and easier to the point where it disappears. And I tell people it only takes about, I think it's 2 weeks to develop a habit or to put a habit down, to create a different routine. It's really not a long time. Verse 4, next week of Ephesians chapter 5, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for breaking that word down. We thank you for making it plain to us. We thank you for allowing us to digest it. Help us to put it into action in our own lives so that we could display your love and expand your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, Jonathan, this Pastor Jonathan, this is my favorite. This is my favorite because I just love, you know, just kindness and love. And this is truly my favorite. And you really broke it down, you know, because, like you said, you have to encourage people. And, you know, when you hear foul language coming out of a believer's mouth or anybody's mouth, it hurts your ears. And it just don't sound good. And you'd be like, wow, that it just hurts. And then I saw a young lady the other day. I was interacting with her, and she was probably about 13, 14. And she said abusive word. And then she looked at me and said, oops, you know. I was like, wow, look what came out of that beautiful face. You know, I said, you just beautiful. I said, but look what came out, you know. And she just looked and she was like, I said, gotta be pretty on the inside. You know, it has to be pretty on the inside too, you know, like that. And so she just kind of looked and she just shook her head, you know. And yeah, we have to show them, we have to, you know, demonstrate, and then when they do it, we have to be able to tell them, you know, that don't sound too good. That don't look good coming out of your beautifulness, you know. She was really beautiful, you know, but look what came out of her mouth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of looked and she just shook her head like, okay, you know. And we have to tell them because sometimes don't nobody tell them. Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you do have a very gentleman son, and he has been shown and taught, you know, the best things in life, and that's what we have to show our kids, because we do have good kids. We do. All our kids are not, you know, doing the wrong things, and we do have good, polite children, and we just have to show them. What you show them is what we gonna get, and what we're going to see.
Absolutely.
When you can tell who's putting the time in, and that's what we have to do. We have to put that time in and just show them all the good things, because it don't take it don't cost us nothing to say a kind word, to love. It costs us nothing. I love Ephesians, you know. And so,
yeah.
Like you said, your mom taught you, you know, the things that she wanted to see you go out in the world and do, you know. And I feel the same way. My mom taught us just how to be kind to people. And when I go out that door, I just want to be just like her. Every, you know, when I go out on, hey, you know, I want to be happy and show people, you know, kindness. And I'm grateful for that. Yeah, because I don't think you feel good when you're always barking at people or, you know, saying the wrong thing. That just cannot feel good to you, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yes, sir. Yeah, so, and I'm sure everybody out there enjoyed it as well. It's easier to love. It's so much easier to love. And I think if we do that and walk through life like that, man, it'll catch on. It will catch
on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
So thank you. That was perfect. I want to hear more of that next week and the week after that. Because I think that's what we're lacking right now. You know, we're lacking that love and that kindness and, you know, towards one another. And we need so much more of that. That should just be just our every waking moment, just looking forward to being kind to somebody. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So thank you so much for that lesson. You really broke it down for us, for, you know, even the babies can understand. And,
you're welcome.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear more and just have the best day ever.
You do the same. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we are going to have a song and then go right into our service, okay? See you on the other side. Hallelujah, you're worthy. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. I will be reading for your hearing a scripture from 2 Corinthians 8:6-15. That's 2 Corinthians 8-15, and it is titled The Season of Giving. Here reads the Word of God. Remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take our gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this: ministry of giving, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and the doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preach words so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings, Lord. We are so grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you. And we will now continue to be ministered because we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon. It's Christy Clyburn. I made a mistake. That's chapter 9, and I actually put chapter 8 on the paper when I sent it to you. So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. for the season of giving. So we thank God for you. Hey, amen.
Right.
You got to forgive me.
That's all right. The word all went forward.
Amen. Amen. Yes, so let's go ahead and get started with our song service. And the first song that the Lord gave to me is this one. I wanted to switch to something else, but he said, my people need to know their position in me. Amen.
Mercy, cover me.
Amen. You know, one of the devil's biggest tricks is to convince us that somehow our well-being has to do with our situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. That's one of his big tricks. And then he started telling us, oh, you wouldn't be going through this if Jesus wasn't mad at you. Amen. I mean, really? Don't that sound like Job's three friends? Oh, you going through this because... Please, Jesus died for all my sins, clown. You need to back up with that. That's what you need to tell the devil sometime. You need to back up with that. Jesus died for all my sins. God's trying to turn me into who I'm going to be forever. So guess what? It's morning time. Guess what I'm finna do? I'm finna get up and give him some praise. Shut up with all that stuff early in the morning.
From the rising of the sun until it goes away, again we love to say we love you. You brought us safe this far. We really gotta say thank you for bringing us all through. I may not have everything I wanna have, thing I wanna be. The pain, the sunshine and rain, we wanna still give you the praise. Even when I've walked away and refused to seek your faith, you've always loved on me. But Lord, you gave me everything.
right. Pastor O is showing out today. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor O, for those blessings and songs that faith the testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Yes. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own brother, Minister John McFall, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Minister John McFall. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, my Blog Talk family. Are we on?
Yes, we are.
All right, good morning to you. My name is John McFall. coming to you live from Lincoln Park, Michigan. It's time to open up our minds and clear our hearts and come to the Lord. Just tell him what's on your mind. He already knows. He just wants to see if you're going to be honest with him and share your thoughts and concerns on this Saturday morning. We have a lot to be thankful for, so let's get started. First off, thank you for Pastor O and the team for Running for Christ Ministries for giving me this opportunity to come before you on this day. I thank you. So let's bow our heads, come before the Lord, open up our hearts. Don't be afraid to tell him what's on your heart. He already knows. He wants to help us. He loves us. We're his kids. We're his kids. He cares about us.
Okay, we might be having a little difficulty. We can't hear you. Pastor Mac, we can't hear you. Okay, we're experiencing some kind of technical difficulty with Pastor Mac. We can't hear him. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to once again approach your throne with boldness. You told us to come boldly before your throne. And so we have that permission because Jesus Christ provided it for us. And we can come boldly because he said when he taught his disciples to pray, and we overheard it because we read it, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father. And so, Father, we can say, Abba, Father, as we taught by Paul through his pen, what you wrote in Romans chapter 8. We can literally cry, Abba, Father, because through Jesus Christ we have become your children. And so, Father, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you created the heavens and the earth and everything here. And you created us on that sixth day. And before you created us, you provided everything that we could possibly need. We couldn't think or want something that you hadn't made. And you gave it to us. You did that because you wanted to free us up from the concerns and cares of this world. Just as Jesus, when you were here, you told us, be not anxious about food, clothes, and water. You said, spend your time seeking the kingdom of God. You said, seek his righteousness. And you told us that our Father in heaven knows full well that we have need of all these things. He knows that we need food. He knows we need water. He knows we need clothes to wear, no matter what climate we live in. And so we are not told to worry about those things no more than Adam did, but to focus our mind, to focus our time in on you, your kingdom rule and authority, and your right way of thinking, acting, doing, talking, walking every single day according to your word. Father, we thank you that there's just you and no other God beside you. We thank you in Isaiah 43, 44, and 5, and in other places, you clearly told us there are no other gods. All they are is figments of the imaginations of the folks who proclaim them. But you have declared that you are the only God, and beside you there was none other, and since you haven't seen one created. So we thank you, Father, that you are the only true and living God, and through Christ, through our faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, we're your children. So, Father, we focus on you in our personal life. We focus on you in our family life. We focus on you in our church life and our civic life. All day, every day, we focus on you. We want to do those things that please you. Just like Jesus, when you were here, you said, I always do those things that please my Father. So, Father, we want to be just like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Since that's the plan, as Pastor Jonathan Tate has been teaching us, clearly teaching us, that your plan is to make us like Christ. And so that we won't be tossed to and fro with every wind and word of doctrine and be fooled by people's trickiness. So the outcome of this effort is for us to be like Jesus, not to be Jesus, but to be like him. to let the words that come out of our mouths be yours, to let the works that we do with our hands be you working through us to help people. So, Father, we thank you that you allow us to know you and to know the truth. We thank you that you didn't make us and then make no way for us to get to know you. We thank you for the invitation you gave us in James chapter 4 and verse 8, where you said, come near to me, and I will come near to you. You offered us that opportunity to become like Peter, James, and John, that inner circle. All we have to do is push in, and you will not block us from coming in. You even told us also in James' book that if we lack wisdom, if we have knowledge but have no way of understanding how to use it, if we lack the wisdom to use the knowledge you gave us, you said, don't let us be afraid. You wouldn't get mad of us if we asked you to give us wisdom, if you taught us how to use what you've freely given us. Oh, Father, we cannot thank you enough for all your goodness and kindness to us, towards us. Father, I know you know what's going on in our world and in our country, and I know you're really not concerned about those things, because every time you look at your watch, everything is on track. Everything is according to your plan. You already wrote it out. We have the book of Revelation. I mean, you wrote this thing all the way out to the end. So nothing's going on today that you didn't know would go on. And Jesus, when you were here, you told us when we see all this craziness going on, we shouldn't get concerned and upset like the world. You literally told us to rejoice. You told us when it get crazy like it is right now before the man of evil appears, you said that it would be like this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You told us it would be like this. But you said for us to rejoice because it's time to come home and be with you forever. We're out of here forever. We'll be raptured up out of here and be home with you forever. We'll never have to come back here and go through this no more. So, Father, we know you know all this stuff that's going on. We know you know what's going on in our government. You know, we've been spending so much money, the inflation gone through the roof, and now prices of everything going up. So I'm asking you, Father, concerning your children, to bless them like you did Isaac. In the land of a famine, you told him not to leave. And then you did your thing. You blessed him 100 times more in the time of a famine. So, Lord, this stuff is crazy down here. Prices through the roof. So I'm asking you, Father, and I know you will because you did it before. This is no new precedent. This is something you've already done. Bless your people to be able to meet these new high prices. And I thank you for that because I know you will. Because all we have to do is what you said. Seek your kingdom and your righteousness. You'll give us the money to meet the high prices. We ain't worried about that. Make us, Father, shine. You said we are the light of the world. You said we are the salt of the earth. So let us be salt. Let us make things more palatable. Let us be preservatives. Let us speak the word to those who don't know about Jesus so that life can be preserved eternally and that the life they're living right now can be made better. Help us, Heavenly Father, to not dim our light with crappy lifestyles, crappy Christian lifestyles, that cause our light to not reflect the glory of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We just heard Pastor Jonathan Tate so clearly teach us that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit like somebody at a funeral is grieving and feeling bad. That's how we make you feel when we don't live up to who we are in Christ Jesus. So help us, Father, not to grieve the Holy Spirit by doing things that you pulled us away from a long time ago or thinking ways that are not ways you want us to think. But help us to do those things that please the Holy Spirit. Father, you are grieved when we live less than who we are in Christ Jesus. But you get the glory when we rise above those things and seek your way, seek your will. Even when we mess it all the way up and it comes to our knowledge, we've been convicted by the Holy Spirit to know we messed it all the way up. Father, we thank you that all we have to do to get back in fellowship with you is 1 John 1:9. All you ask us to do is agree with you that we did wrong. And then you forgive us. And then work with us to clean the mess up. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? So, Father, we thank you for giving us this awesome opportunity to speak to you. And even though I'm praying right now, this ain't no Bruce Almighty, you can hear every single prayer on this planet and not go just tell everybody yes, but you can meet each individual's need right where they are. And their need might not even be what they're asking you for, but you know that because you're God, our Father. What they need is something altogether opposite of what they're asking you so they can become everything that you, Jesus, when you said in Philippians 1:6, you're working on them, you're going to bring them to completion. They ain't there yet. We still here. But you allow them to not get what they ask for. Give them what they need to turn them who they're going to be, to turn them into who they're going to be forever. Father, we cannot thank you enough for being that kind of God and Father to us. Who is man that you're mindful of him? You created us just a little bit lower than the angels, and yet through our faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you have made us your children. Ain't nobody else in creation can say to your children, even the obedient angels that didn't get kicked out of heaven can't say to your children. They look into the things that saved us, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and our free will, faith in him, and we become your children. You are our Father. As you said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to the end, at the end you said, I am your Father, and you are my children. So we thank you for that designation, Father. Help us to live that designation out on this planet. We're down here running around here more scared of the stuff going on in the world and worldly people. Help us, Father, to live faith every day. Help us to stop falling out every time something happens. Help us to understand that you allowed this thing happen so you could show off to the devil how you can make human beings like us, like Job, stand up and defeat him. And all we have is your word. So help us, Lord, to take what you've given us. Moses came to the Red Sea, him and them people that you brought out of Egypt. The people started going crazy, and Moses started wondering. Pharaoh coming after him to tear him up. And you've led them to the Red Sea that they can't drink up and cross. What are they going to do? And you say to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Why are you panicking? Because you knew from that talk you had with Moses on the backside of that mountain that you had given him what he needed to get through. And the only reason they were at the Red Sea is so they could stand still in faith and see the power of God. Father, we know that it's impossible to please you without faith. When they got their faith together, they pleased you so well that you built a smooth road at the bottom of the Red Sea for them to cross over. Then you took that same road that was a blessing to them that helped them to escape, and you got rid of their problem. You told them, you see these Egyptians that you see today, this big old problem that's after you, you ain't never going to see it again. And they tried their best to go back to Egypt, but wasn't no Egypt to go back to. The economy destroyed. Their army destroyed. Their firstborn children gone. Their cattle gone. And that was not a place they wanted to go back to. They was actually better off in the wilderness. But if you'll do that for them, Father, if you'll give them that kind of faith to get past Red Seas and wildernesses where you can't live and pass Sihon and Og, who won't let you pass through their land and get past the Jordan River so you can get across it and get to the promised land, tear up Jericho without no tools. We know if you did it for them, you'll do it for us. So we know if we come to any of those obstacles in our life, you've already planned for us to get past it. Father, your plan is to get us from earth to heaven, and you won't allow nothing between earth and heaven to stop us from getting there. Thank you, Father. Hear now all the individual prayers that are coming up to you. Look into the hearts of your people who ain't even telling you the truth about what they're going through, who don't even understand what they're going through, why they even feel like they feel. Look into their hearts now, Father, and see the solution and grant it. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much. And, Lord, you know I ask you every day about Running for Christ Ministries to keep them and protect them from the evil one as well as all our brothers and sisters in Christ. until we get to come home and be with you forever. So we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we say amen.
Amen, amen. We had a little technical difficulty, and we just want to thank Minister McFaul and Pastor O for standing in and praying and making our request known to God. Power and prayer. All right? All right. So far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. And remember, be kind to one another and give generously. Okay? Amen. Okay. You know what time it is. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part. Icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this selection is our faithful, strong man of God, Brother Elder Joseph Stevens. Prepare to receive Brother Elder Joseph Stevens. Come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen. Brother Elder Joseph Stevens.
Let me hear the worshipers.
your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Hello? We need the preacher. Okay, are we having all kinds of technical difficulties this morning?
I'm sorry. Hello. Good morning.
You're welcome.
I moved my phone and it put it on mute.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, Jesus, I done already had to pray. I know I ain't finna preach. Woo.
Oh, but you could.
That was a good one. You got me.
After that song, I know you could preach. good morning, Pastor O. Good morning, Sister Sheila. Running for Christ family, Blog Talk listeners. Many of you don't know, but Gerald just knocked the ball. Pastor O. Let me say, not Gerald, but Pastor O. Pastor Gerald overall just knocked the ball out of the park with the bases loaded with that song. Every praise to our God. But do we really, we sing it, we dance to it, we praise and lift our hands to that song, but do we really do it? Last month I talked about launch out into the deep. Oh, let me pray first. Father God, we just thank you for another privilege and opportunity to share your word. Father, what I feel that you have put on my heart to share. Father God, continue to strengthen us through your word, through your Holy Spirit. And then, Father God, continue to convict us, but never condemn us. Lead us to hearts of love and compassion. And then, Father God, we just thank you and bless you for the privilege and an opportunity of being here today to give a part of your word. And then, Father God, we just thank you for life, health, and strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Every praise belongs to our God. And I'll get into that in a few minutes. Last month, I talked about launch out into the deep. You remember Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep. They had been fishing all night, and they were cleaning their nets. And we know that he told him to launch out into the deep, and Peter actually had to call for help of another boat. They caught 150 fish, and the boats were starting to sink. Jesus then told Peter, Andrew, Peter, John, and James that he would make them fishers of men, and they immediately left their boats and the fish and followed Jesus. And, you know, I talked about, can we really go deeper into God, deep into God? Can we really go be deep and be of God? Can we really be deeper in God? I believe we can be deep in following Christ as Christians. How can we be deep? We can be deep in our praise, deep in our worship, deep in our love for others, deep in forgiving. believe it was the Bee Gees had a song back in the day saying, how deep is your love? Brothers and sisters, how deep is your love? That is a powerful question for each one of us to contemplate and think about and really be truthful. How deep is our love as Christian brothers and sisters in Christ? Psalms 136, 1-4, the New Living Translation says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods, with a small g. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. That's verses 1. We know that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus for us. But what did he give Jesus for us to do? He gave Jesus to come here and die for our sins, that we might believe in what God did through Jesus. And we know that Jesus did not come into the world to judge it. He came into the world to save it. But he will be coming back to judge some of this foolishness that we're doing both inside and outside of the church. Foolishness being done by Christians and non-Christians. But Jesus commanded us to love one another, to show the world that we are his disciples. And to tell the truth, if he was to give us a report card on love, we'd have an F for failing. So I really truly believe we have to go back to the basics of being a Christian. Yes, we've already confessed our belief in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We've already been baptized. We've already gone to church and on Zoom services, radio blog talk services. Some are back inside a building. But I believe as Christians, we have to go back to the basics of being a Christian. One is praise, worship, and obedience to God, and our love for all man. Yes, he said to love one another so good, so much that the world would know that we are his disciples. And my subject today, I don't believe you can get deep in love till we can become deep in our praise. So my subject today is, how deep is your praise? Don't think about somebody else, how they praise. Don't think of someone in your family, how they praise. But how deep is your praise? What is praise? We are to praise God for both who he is and for what he does. Says that in Psalms 150, verse 2. Praising God for who he is called adoration. Praising him for what he does is known as thanksgiving, according to the Nelson Dictionary. And you know, worship, we're all over the place with that today. But worship is our reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God. It's the rituals or ceremonies by which we reverence God and how it is expressed. But you know, early Christians worship focused on God's saving work in Jesus Christ. That's what the early church focused on. Sometimes we get focused on a lot of other stuff. Oh, what God's going to do for me. I want a new car. I want a big house. I want a promotion. I want a better job. I want this. I want that. And then we say we worshiping God. But I'll leave that alone. But what did Jesus say? Well, before I go there, let me say, praise and worship goes a lot deeper than I have time to get into today. worship styles and what we consider to be worship is all over the place in our day and time. And much of it is according to man's interpretation. Worship styles and what we consider to be worship is all over the place today according to man's interpretation. Let me do a Selah right there and let you think about that. But what did Jesus say about worship and worshiping God? He said in John 4:24, NL New Living Translation, for God is a spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise and worship God in our daily lives. In other words, praise and worship God not by what we know, but what is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Praise and worship God in our daily lives. And let me say, don't get caught up in worshiping man, ourselves, or things. Worship and praise on our individual part is important. Worship and praise collectively is also important. And I'll dare say, pray to God and ask God to reveal to you how and where and he wants you to do to pray, both praise him and to worship him. When you think of praise, what scriptures come to mind? I know many people would jump to Psalms 100, NLT, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. And it can only continue to each generation if our generation is praising God and worshiping God in the manner that he would have for us to do, and teaching our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, other young people in the church, proper praise and worship. Huh. What did he say? God's faithfulness continues to each generation. Oh, hallelujah. But that faithfulness does not fail because of what God does not do. That faithfulness can fail because of what we have not done. Psalms 150 NLT. Praise the Lord. Now let me stop. It starts off with praise the Lord with an exclamation point. So that tells me this is not a suggestion. It's a command with instructions following in the verses. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him with his mighty heavens. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him his unequaled greatness. Verse 3, praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. 4, praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Verse 5, praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. And verse 6 says, let everything that breathes praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. The above verses instructed Israel and us today. When we look into the sky on various instruments or hear them play, we can praise God with our thankfulness, our thanksgiving, being thankful for his wondrous works and his mighty acts. God's mighty acts, miracles, and love brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. But how many know they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness and the murmuring, their grumbling and complaining resulted in the death of everyone that was 20 years and older, except Caleb and Joshua and Moses. But they all died after seeing God's mighty miracle, God providing for them in the wilderness, led by a cloud by the day, fire by night, food being rained down from heaven, the parting of the Red Sea, and all they could do was complain and murmur. And you know, it's easy for us to point the finger at what they did, but stop and think, what has God done for you? How has God blessed you in spite of you, in spite of me? How has God blessed us? How has God provided for us? We have both the Old and New Testament to guide us. Don't miss God. We have both the Old and New Testaments to guide us. Don't miss God. Praise is so important to God, you not leave it only for man to praise him. Yes, we get happy when we hear Psalms 100 and Psalms 150, but Psalms 148 and 149 helped bring a whole nother revelation to Psalms 150. 148:1 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord, for he issued his command, and they came into being. Verse 6, he set them in place forever and ever. His decree will never, let me say that again, he set them in place forever and ever. His decree will never be revoked. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean's depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, wind and weather that obey him, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, small scurrying animals and birds. Verse 11, kings of the earth and all people, rulers and judges of the earth. Verse 12, young men and young women, old men and children, let them all praise the name of the Lord. For his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven. And verse 14, he has made his throne, honoring his faithful ones. The people of Israel who are close to him, praise the Lord. Wow, that's a lot. The heavens, the skies, the sun, the moon, the stars, vapors above the clouds. Let every created thing praise, give praise to the Lord. That was verses 1 to 6. His scurrying, small scurrying animals and birds, praise the Lord. Kings, rulers, and judges, praise the Lord. Young men and women, old men and children, praise the Lord. All of creation praises the Lord. And you know, out of all of that, only man has a free will to praise or not to praise the Lord. Only man has a free will to worship or not worship the Lord. Only man has a free will to accept Jesus Christ as Lord or not to accept him. Verse Psalms 149, Israel's instruction. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. Verse 2, O Israel, rejoice in your maker. O people of Jerusalem, exalt in your king. Verse 3, praise his name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. And you know, we love to talk about dancing for the Lord. We love to hear good music. We love to clap our hands. We love to be excited. We talk about how David danced. He danced out of his outer garments, bringing the ark of God back home. His wife despised him and was barren. So guess what? Be careful whose praise we question or despise. God knows. Be careful whose praise we question or despise. God knows. Verse 4, for the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. 5, let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their bed. 6, let the praises of God be in their mouth and a sharp sword in their hands. 7, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. 8, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains. 9, to execute judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. Man, when you read those verses, we should be excited no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what challenges we are facing, no matter what Satan is trying to bring to us, no matter what he's saying to us, we should praise, we should worship, and we should honor the Lord. All creation praises the Lord our God. Again, we have free will, but we are without excuse. Don't come up murmuring, complaining, and grumbling when things are going on in your life. I can't do it either, or shouldn't, because I can't say I'm 100% from doing that. But we have to remember what God has said in his word. Psalms 34, verses 1 and 2a from the Message translation says, I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. 2, I live and breathe God. I bless God every chance I get. So we have to ask the question, do I do that? That's what the writer said in Psalms 34. I bless God every chance I get. Can't say we are blessing or praising God every chance we get. Then something is wrong and we need to do something about it. Worship God in spirit and truth. Let the Holy Spirit lead us in spirit of true worship. Worship God in spirit and truth. Let the Holy Spirit lead us in the spirit of true worship. And that's what we have to do. And it's too many of us till we get to church to say we're praising or worshiping God. Hey, some of us don't even make every Sunday. Some of us only go on Sunday. Some of us come on Sundays and whatever days there's Bible class or other things going on. But how many know that's 2 days a week, most of the time, sometimes maybe three. There's 7 days in a week, and we should use all of them to praise and worship our God. Psalms 117 says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth. For he loves us with unfailing love. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. New Living Translation. And you know, that's only two verses. Those two verses we should commit to our hearts. Those two verses we should commit to our memory. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth, for he loves us with unfailing love. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. Again, that was Psalms 117, verses 1 and 2. We owe God our praise. We owe God our praise. We owe God our worship. Romans 15:11 says, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye King James. Laud, that means applaud, commend, and to praise, according to Strong. Applaud, commend, and praise God. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, King James. Philippians 1:11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God, King James Translation. And Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, things are true. So we got to deal with things that are true. Whatsoever things are honest, we have to remain honest. Whatsoever things are just, we have to look for the just in doing everything we do, being just. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. How deep is your praise? How deep, remember, we owe God our praise. I will bless the Lord every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. I live and breathe God. And if we be totally truthful, we live and we breathe because of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. How deep is your praise? You know, the Bee Gees wrote a song talking about how deep is your love. How deep is your praise? Amen. I think they used to say your praise is going to determine the elevation that you reach. And Paul and Silas reached an elevation that most of us want to reach. They praised God at midnight in an old rusty jail. Amen, Brother Preacher. I am not going to start preaching because you got your boy over here turned all the way up to 20,000. Amen. So hold on, Preacher. We're going to bring you back in a minute.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher sent me a text yesterday say I need a strong song of praise before I preach, and then get on here and just rip it all apart. Amen. That's what the Lord loved. The Lord loved for him to... a love for us to lift him up. You know, I was reading one time at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church. This is when I was under Pastor Joseph B. Barlow Jr. And I guess I read it like I really wasn't really into it, wasn't really feeling it, you know, as well, there you go. Lord bless. And sit down. Ooh-wee. He got me in that office, put all the other preachers out, and he told me, don't you never read God's word like that. That is the Lord's word. When you get up to read the Lord's word, you declare it. I said, amen. And now y'all know why I read like I do. Amen. So the preacher just declared it. Amen. When you declare the Lord's truth, declare it like it's the Lord's truth. Yeah, some folks going to get mad because, yeah, my praise is slacking. But that's your problem, not his. Amen. How deep is your praise? Now, look out now. Don't play with the Lord because that's a question. How deep is your praise? If the Lord dropped you off in a Philippian jail, how deep is your praise? If the Lord give you a bill you can't pay, how deep is your praise? Car note coming up, ain't got no money. How deep your praise? Praise. Amen. You know, Fred Hammond, my friend, my brother, Deacon Charles Tate, we love this song by Fred Hammond, and it's called Here in Your Praise is Your Power, Grace, Your Mercy, and Your Love in Your Praise. You don't get it outside. Oh, see, I'm preaching anyway. I told the preacher I wasn't going to do that. It's his fault. Y'all pray for him. He make preachers preach. It's his fault. Praise the Lord. I want to thank Pastor John McFall for being willing to do the altar call. Amen. The Lord blessed David because he was willing to build the temple, even though he didn't do it, his son did. Amen. So I want to thank him for his willingness to do altar call, especially with all that he is good. You're talking about somebody know how deep is your praise. He could tell you something about that. Amen. He ain't no joke, Christian. That boy over there going through a whole lot. But you would never know it if I didn't tell you. Amen. Anyway, I got announcement duty today. Yeah. Amen. So here we go. Amen. Sunday, November 14th, we will have our in-person service. Worship service begins at 10 a.m. And we'll be led, as always, by our awesome praise team, Lisa Thornton being the praise team leader, Pastor Janice Tate being over the church music. I used to be over it. Jesus fired me, put her in charge, so praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. They'll be leading us in song, and the preached word, of course, will be your own Pastor O. I'm going to be continuing my new sermon series, preaching through the entire New Testament, all the epistles to the Revelation. We started chronologically with the book of Galatians, and we did Galatians part one last week. You can get it right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's for free. Amen. And tomorrow we're going to be doing installment number two, Galatians, the book of Galatians, part two. Amen. It's funny. You got to come out to church tomorrow and hear this. This is unbelievable, the stuff that went down in Galatians chapter 2. It is hilarious. So you got to come out tomorrow and hear that. And there's a blessing in it for you. It's always a blessing in the Lord's word. Amen. So come on out and worship with us tomorrow. You're welcome to join us. All we ask is that you wear a mask. And if you don't have one, guess what? We're so big and kind-hearted, we're going to give you one. Amen. We do that because most runner for Christ is vaccinated. Some of us is even triple boosted. Amen. Your boy being one. But there are folks who are not vaccinated. And sometimes folks who are vaccinated can be what's called asymptomatic. And we don't want to infect nobody because I'm sure if we ask the questions, what would Jesus do? He would get vaccinated so he wouldn't infect nobody. Amen. Or kill himself. Amen. Because you don't know how COVID going to act with you. Like the preacher who come on television say, if it hits you wrong, you're gone. Amen. You don't want to be gone too soon. Amen. If that's even a thing. But what you want to do is make sure that you're doing all you can to show love for the people around you. Love ye one another as I've loved you. So we're going to ask that you wear a mask. And you can listen to our Blog Talk Radio service. It's taped. It's live. But it's recorded. So you can get it at 1 o'clock. Usually it's uploaded by 1 o'clock. You can go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on Bible classes, click on Blog Talk Radio Player. Boom, it's right there. It should be the first show in that player. Just click play. Or you can visit the show page, okay, where you can access over 1,300 different worship services and Bible classes. Amen. Every Sunday at 4 p.m., our own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. Awesome. Folks call in from all over the country, from Texas and everywhere else, so they can comment, trying to figure out how do we turn this thing around. Amen. The family, the foundation of family has fallen apart, and now we got cracks all over the community. And we keep trying to patch the cracks, but we ain't fixing the foundation. Bring Back the Family is all about fixing that foundation. So join the conversation every Sunday at 4 o'clock. Amen. You can actually call in and say something instead of just sitting there being lectured. Amen. So call in, get involved, be a part of the solution so nobody can accuse you of being part of the problem. And if we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims of not helping them later. I love that because that is so true. Amen. That little boy you used to look at and not say nothing to going down the street, now he's a 17-year-old teenager with a gun. And y'all ain't got no kind of relationship. And he got to do what he got to do, and here you come. So you don't want to be a victim, amen, of him later. Try to help him right now. Bring back the family. Every Monday at 6 p.m., we have our class entitled Get a Grip, How to Hold It All Together When Things Go Wrong. Deaconess June Rogers, the Lord is just blowing it up. Again, folks calling from all over the country, and they're getting involved. So we want to get involved. It's about the church and our mental health. Amen. So this week, I believe, let me see what we're talking about this week. I need to know that. You know what? How I'm going to find out what's going on with Get a Grip this week? I done forgot because I got so many things going. But I ain't worried about it. Why? Because I go to Bible classes on our website, and I click Get a Grip, and guess what? Get a Grip this week is about Get a Grip, November 15th, stress test, handling the unexpected disaster. You're sitting in the house. You're nice and warm. Television on. Nice and cozy. Then you kind of notice it's getting colder. And it's getting colder. And you walk up to the heat to turn it up. It's already up. But it ain't coming on. Your furnace done blew out. How do you handle that disaster without stressing out and going crazy? Tune in Monday. Amen. Get a grip. When them kind of situations happen on us. Amen. So you want to tune in Monday at 6 o'clock for Get a Grip. The teacher is Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Okay, she'll lead the discussion. Tune in for the discussion and for the questions. You can get the questions on our website. Go to rfcm.org. Click on Bible classes. They're right there. Okay, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we'll have our Bible reading class. This week, we'll be studying the book of Psalms. We're staying in Psalms. We're doing chapters 26 through 30. The questions will be available Sunday on the back table, and they are available right now online. Okay, so be sure to check the back table if you attend our in-person service. Deacon Oliver Welch is going to be leading us for the next 5 weeks in the book of Psalms. Amen. He'll be the teacher for this class. Now, every Saturday today, right now, amen, right now, at Bondage Breakers, our own assistant pastor, Janice Tate, she holds a ladies' Bible class with her ministries, Bondage Breaker Ministries, right? It's at 11:30 to 1, 11:30 p.m. to 1 o'clock. Call Pastor Janice Tate for the call-in number, and you can get that on our Christian Resources page, rfcm.org, Christian Resources, click Bondage Breakers Ministry. All the information you need to attend this class is right there. And if you want to help with some other things that they have going, all you have to do, you can get all that information right there. Now, if you'd like to pay your tithes or offerings, just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on Tithes and Offerings. And if you would like to give the preacher, Elder Joseph Stevens, who just preached today, if you'd like to give him a love offering while you're over there, click Offering, amen, and designate that this is for Elder Joseph Stevens, and we'll make sure that he gets it. rfcm.org, click on Tithes and Offerings. All the information is right there. Prayers go out to our own Saturday announcer. And, y'all, we got to pray hard. I'm doing announcements. That's not good. That's not good. I am tempted to do so much other crazy stuff. And Jesus is like, Crystal don't do that, so you don't do that. Amen. So pray for Deaconess Crystal Crump so she can get back in her position and do these announcements for us every Saturday. Also keep in prayer our brother, father of the church, Tyrone Hamilton. Now, he's the oldest member of the church, so he's our father, right? So pray for him and all the mothers on the move, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. And pray for all the leaders, the teachers, the parents, the children, and all the bereaved families all across this earth and especially across these United States. Amen? Amen. Now we want to get to the birthdays. For November, for this week, I believe it's just two people. We're celebrating with Tariq. Amen. November 12th is his birthday, and November 17th, Tyrone Hamilton, father of the church. Amen. Praise God. If we got mothers, we got fathers. You go to First Peter chapter 5, and it tells you how to treat the fathers, tell you how to treat the mothers, how to treat the widows. Amen. Praise God. So we're celebrating with Tariq and with Tyrone, and all of us shout together. They'll hear it spiritually. Happy birthday. Amen. And those are your announcements, and we trust that you will govern yourselves thereby. Amen. Amen. Let's get the preacher back. Woo, preacher, preacher, preacher. You know, Crystal got some kind of a job here, but I'm praying on her, real praying for her, real hard. Jesus, go ahead and fix her and get her back in there so she can preach and teach some more.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I touch and agree. I just thank God for the challenge of his word. I thank God for you challenging me. I don't remember how many years ago it was to come on the Saturday, on the fifth Saturday of the month, and then you eased it on over to the second Saturday of the month. And, you know, I had a lot going on, but, you know, it has blessed me. It has blessed me in the study of the word. It has blessed me in the preaching of the word. And it has challenged and blessed me in preparing the word. And, you know, we always sometimes question, God, is this me? Is this you? You know, but God has so many ways of delivering his word through different individuals. Each one of us have to be ourselves. We can't be, I can't be you, you can't be me. But we can still praise and worship the same God. We can still teach and preach about the same God. We can still be thankful to the same God. And you know, when we think about it, I have a friend that you know, I won't mention his name, but he had a cousin out of state, refused to get the shot. Her husband died last year with COVID. One of his other relatives died last year with COVID. She still didn't get the shot, her or her daughter. And guess what? About 3 weeks ago, one day apart, both of them left here because they refused to get the virus shot. Don't make
sense. Wow.
Left here too young. 20 years apart they were, but her daughter left two sons here. Her only daughter died one day after she did. And one of the other relatives asked her oldest son, well, are you going to get the shot? He said, no, I got to think about it. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Help us.
Lord have mercy.
Help us. Help us.
Amen. All we got to do is look up and live.
Devastated. Devastated over his cousin and her daughter because they've just refused to get the shot after several other people had already caught COVID and died. You know, so I don't know. But one thing I did not say, I don't think I said it during the message, because I got out the car and had to dance a little bit out there at Elizabeth Park. I know people say, what is wrong with him? When you had every praise plan, I opened my door and got out, and I had to move my feet a little bit. But coming through COVID, coming through 2020, coming up to this point in time in 2021, no one should have to prod us. No one should have to try to excite us. No one should have to do anything to get us to praise and worship God when we come to service. And no one should be able to have to, because we don't have nobody else to do it the other days of the week when we're not at church. So we got to learn to do it on our own. However we praise, however we worship, we just have to make sure that we're worshiping in God in spirit and truth. And everybody don't worship the same. Everybody don't show the same amount of excitement. But there's always to praise. There's all kind of ways to praise and worship God. And one of the most important ways is being obedient and living his word.
That is it. I think that was a song that Sister Reed taught me a long time ago. We praise him by how we live. Praise God by living like he wants us to live. And that's how we praise him. And that brings glory to his name because people get to see him on earth. We're living his word, living his will, so they get to see him lived out on earth. Okay, go ahead and give us a closing prayer, and we can be up and out of here and home.
But we
we home. We already
most
home.
Of all, we praise him by how we live. We praise him by how we live. We praise him by how we act. We praise him by how we respond and act. And we continue to praise him and thank him daily.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher. You be blessed, all right?
You too. May God continue to bless you and First Lady. And you get a hold of Crystal and tell her I said, don't be running away. But she knows she be talking about, this my last time. This my last Saturday. I don't know what's going on with her, but tell her get back on her boat.
Yeah, she really got something going on. This time, well, not this time, but this is the first time, really, I know her. But anyway, she got something going on, but Crystal got that kind of faith that'll beat the crap out of it, and she'll be back and carrying a raggedy whatever
Amen.
It was that tried to get her. It'll be all beat up and throw up and say, here's this thing, throw it away. She'll conquer it. She'll keep that tight. She will not be
Amen.
Out there. She a Philippian jailer. All right,
That's
my
all right.
Preacher, be blessed.
All right, you too.
Amen. We've had an awesome time, and I'm sure the Lord is pleased with the service already. I love it when the Lord comes and says, you did good, you did good. And he'll do that by speaking to me through somebody. And I know that the service was pleasing in his sight. We always say, Lord, that it might be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. And he's received it, amen. And now all we have to do is go out and live it, experience in our personal, family, church, and civic life so that that 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 comes true. Seek to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. You'll get the respect of those who are on the outside, and you won't be dependent on anybody. God bless you. God keep you. See you when we see you.
Hey, in the midst of, in the midst of. Now look, to all my church folks, what I want you to do is I want you to play this real, real loud in your car. Make them think you listening to some secular stuff.
Know you really feel like praising.
Why come?
Jesus is so amazing. Responsible for great things. Jesus is so amazing. Find me a new way. Struggle gon' come, but faithful I will stay, 'cause I believe.
I know he's responsible for great things.
Jesus is so amazing.
If you know he's responsible for great things, say this.
I love you, Lord.
Where you at?
I love you, Lord.
To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God and Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen. God bless you.